Welcome to the acclaimed podcast, Deep Dive with Andy and the White Whale.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. We are here to talk soccer today. The World Cup is in full freaking swing. We almost have all the first games from group play in the books. The weekend was absolutely crazy. And I cannot wait to talk about the action we've seen so far. We've finally seen these teams play, and we know how they're, you know, kind of seeing who's coming together, who's not. The upsets have been just absolutely crazy so far in this tournament. And so with that, I have Andy, as always, our brilliant co-host and soccer mind, to help us kind of frame what we've seen and where we go from here. And we have our old friend of the pod, Olympic handicapping maestro, guy that got me started podcasting, The Mill. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. How you doing?
Hey guys, what's going on?
Yeah, little shout out for the Olympics, because we kind of crushed those.
Yeah, that's right.
Scott and Tessa
came through and beat that damn dirty French team in the ice dancing and cashed all of those bets for us. That was such a happy moment.
One of the most nerve-wracking moments of sports for me this year was waiting for the scores on the ice dancing.
Absolutely, yeah. That was incredible.
I might need to reevaluate some parts of my life.
You know what's crazy about betting on sports is it's always like those big ones. Like, I remember sitting there watching that I guess ice dance, it's embarrassing to say, but like being so caught up on it and like sweating it so much, and I completely forgot about that till right now when you brought that up. But had they lost, I'd probably been thinking about it constantly.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And it was so damn close. But we move from one world event to another. We sit here 1 week in, or I guess not 1 week, but one round of round robin play into this World Cup. This is flipping crazy, man. Germany was the outright favorites to win the tournament. They sit at the bottom of their group. Iran sits at the top of Group B over Portugal and Spain. This is just nuts, Mel. What's been some of your major takeaways so far from this nonsense?
We shouldn't bet on it. That's
and yeah, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
All right. It's been blood in the streets. There's no doubt about that.
I think maybe one of the biggest takeaways is those kind of daily parlays that look so good should probably be avoided at all costs. Like when you got Argentina and France playing the same day, it's almost plus money to parlay them. You shouldn't do it. Yeah, I don't think those have cashed yet.
I think today in the 91st minute, Belgium England came through, right? Mm. That was maybe the only one so far. What was the highlight for you so far of the matches you've seen?
I don't know if I have a highlight for you. Well, it hasn't been going great. a lot of sad moments, are they gonna hold on? And then like today I got lucky because I had Tunisia plus one. They shouldn't have been really in that game at all, but still heartbreaking when it goes in 91st minute. That's kind of been my World Cup.
Yeah, well,
there have been a few stoppage time goals. There's been some absolute late action,
dude. Morocco scoring on themselves, that was unreal.
That one screwed me too.
Yeah, that was just brutal. So let's, Andy, what's been the highlight for you so far? You worried about?
I'm not worried about Germany. They're fine.
Okay.
They just need some time. It's almost like England, you know, like they needed a little time to gel, apparently, against a really sad team today. I don't think Tunisia was very good. I think Germany might have goofed a little on their roster, possibly, if some of those midfielders are going to look. I guess a good comparison would be the Patriots linebackers at the beginning of the year last year.
Yes, you know, absolutely.
The midfield looks slow and old.
They don't look old for this earth, but they look old for that game. Yes.
They didn't look like they wanted to attack. Everything was to the side. There was a lot of possession games where teams just seemed, it was like watching Arsenal play a whole bunch of different times or teams just wanted to have possession and things didn't always work out. I haven't won a very many. It's been a struggle in that we entered a contest. We were playing with fun money, which thank God it's fun money because some of those have been going pretty poorly. But Croatia did me right.
Oh, Croatia was a great one. That was super great, fun. Yeah, great call.
Serbia. Otherwise, nice. there's been a couple live overs I've caught, but it's been bloody for if you took a well just Argentina, Germany, Brazil. Any of these favorites, if you took England on the spread, you know, a lot of it was, you could add a push, I guess, but there was a lot of 1.25s out there. Mm-hmm. Teams aren't covering spreads unless it's Russia or Belgium.
Crazy, man. And Belgium, I mean, they didn't necessarily play their best today and still managed to get a 3-0 win. But my worst call so far, I got to own this one because this was kind of just funny. I bet Portugal team total under 0.5 because I really thought Spain was going to dominate possession and like you got a 1-0 type of win. Of course, we get a penalty in the 4th minute and Ronaldo scores. I didn't even know the game had started and I get an alert and I'm like, oh, shit, I lost. Like, great. Sweet. That's lovely. So that was pretty hysterical. That ended up being an awesome game, though. And I want to get to Group B in a second here. But was there a particularly memorable tough loss on your card so far, Andy?
Yeah, I kind of split up. Instead of just betting, I guess betting them to win would have been shit too, but I split up some money on the Argentina game and I ended up splitting it into 4 bets and I hit the first half over, but the other 3 bets were Lionel Messi scores a goal. Argentina, the other one was an Argentina wins and has over 2.5 goals and then Argentina's team total at 2. All 3 of those bets.
No.
Two bets would have cashed, and one would have pushed it worse on that penalty. That
Messi PK.
Yeah, which was, and I'm a Messi stan too. I like stuck up for him with all the Ronaldo lovers, and boy, that didn't go well.
No,
that sucked. Like the penalty kicks. I've lost money on both of the garbage penalty kicks.
The one Peru missed kick too.
Oh, I had Peru first half at like +350, +365 it was. And the penalty kick right before halftime and the guy kicks it into, you know, Crimea. How do you say that?
Yeah. He kicked it into the Black Sea. Yeah.
It's crazy about that one. That's after they don't start their best striker and their best player after he got reinstated, which was yeah, that made that one a little saltier for me, too.
Did you think Peru should have won that game, though, the way they played?
Yeah, they should have at least pushed the pick. Like, they were all over them from the start. I mean, Denmark, to their credit, played really well, but I didn't love the result. I had Peru like Andy there, so.
Do you think there were any other teams that were truly the better team that didn't come away with the result?
Argentina, yeah. Yeah. Spain. I think Spain got ripped.
If you watch the recall too on that or replay, that Switzerland goal, it's not like Brazil played great. Neymar looked like shit, but that Switzerland goal might not have been a goal.
Yeah.
I didn't watch that game.
Brazil, I didn't see all of it, but I did watch that replay where they showed that. Brazil probably got jobbed a little, and I think they'll still, you know, they'll be okay, but. It's just funny. I made a couple bets. I'm just looking at all the total results here. I took 2 bets on lowest scoring team in the tournament. And, you know, all the shit teams.
Tell me you had Russia.
Panama. Yeah, I know. Yeah, but like Panama, South Korea, Costa Rica, Peru, Morocco, Egypt, Saudi Arabia are all tied with Germany for least goals. just how we thought. Yeah, Germany's team total was probably like 2.25.
I think it was 2. It was probably 2 because the game total was like 2.5, right? So
I think if Saudi Arabia get into someone's 6-yard box, I'd be surprised, let alone score.
Yeah, my major takeaway is betting on soccer is like freaking it's not good for you if you have a gambling problem. Like, it is a crazy wild ride. Like, the last 10 minutes of action and, like, stoppage time and all that, like, man, almost all of these end up decided in that in those moments. And it is just nerve-wracking. If you're, like, barely hanging on to a spread, or if you're if you bet a team total under a half, you know, and the team is desperately trying to get an equalizer in their last 10 minutes, like, oh, my God, it is just – it is heart attack city. This is not, you know, you ask your doctor if betting on World Cup soccer is safe for you. I bet every game so far, I'm sitting at 6 and 8, and I'm down about $75 in the contest we're in, Andy, but, or about $60, something like that. So far I'm hanging on like identifying plus money plays, and just trying to scratch out something, you know, trying to get lucky at least until we got a chance to see all these teams play once. And now we can make a little bit more informed decisions, I feel like. And I also think there's potential for opportunity here in the second go-round and the third go-round as the market overreacts to one game. Is that a fair assessment, Mel?
Absolutely. That's something I'm looking for a lot, especially in these second games. Russia in particular is one. I don't know when you want to talk about that one, but that's one in particular I'm looking forward to.
Let's break down the games themselves shortly. But just kind of from
a tomorrow.
Yeah, it is. No, it's going to be a good one. Yeah, Russia, Egypt is tomorrow. Yeah, let's break down the games in a second. The overall impression, market impression, I guess. And you know, I've heard this narrative emerge, and I'm just curious what your thoughts are. I'll ask Andy first, and then Mel. Do you think that the expectation that's kind of, or the take that's going around that, like, oh, there's parity this year, and there's no super teams, and like, oh, anyone, you know, it's anyone's tournament this year, and blah blah blah. Is that a true narrative, or is it more just like, you know, hey, it's one game. This is the first game of group play. There's a lot left here. You got two more group matches, and then, you know, all you really got to do is get yourself into the knockout round. There's really no point in, like, trying to position yourself specifically because who the hell knows what's happening in the group opposite you. And so, you know, some of these teams, like we've seen with Brazil and Germany and France, even though France came away with the win, they sure as hell looked sloppy and sluggish. Are teams like Germany, France, and Brazil still going to rise to the top of the competition pool by the time we get to the end of group play? And then separately, I'll ask Mill about Argentina in a second. But what are your thoughts on kind of the overall narrative we're hearing right now, Andy?
Yeah, I guess I'd go with the latter a little too, rather than the parody thing. It was the first game, you know, in. It's been when were the Euros? I mean, and
yeah, 2 years
that,
ago.
Yeah, for the matter, you know, for that matter, the Euros 2 years ago, some of these are brand new lineups, brand new formations, teams that haven't played together.
Yeah.
And friendlies are not full, you know, full go for a lot of
teams. We got some new managers too, like in Spain.
Oh, yeah, right away. that's wild ass shit right there. But, you know, it's the first game of the World Cup. It is, you know, maybe a bit of a feeling out process. Like you can't say Argentina and Germany aren't good teams because they took a draw and a loss, or Brazil for that matter. And I'm just looking at some of the odds and the reactions now, and I took Germany to win, parlayed with a juicy golf prop over the weekend. I thought I was pretty goddamn smart. I got Germany to win basically at like 7.5 to 1 because I parlayed it with something, and now it's like 8 to 1. So.
Very sharp work. Yeah, very shrewd. What was the prop? Fleetwood?
Just Fleetwood to make the cut.
Oh, nice. I don't even want to talk about U.S. Open cuts right now. You kind of in agreement with that overall, impression of how things are perceived right now, and you know, in specifically, I know you may have some thoughts or perception on Argentina.
Yeah, so I do agree that like a lot of the better teams as they start to play together, and you know, they have deeper benches too, which does make a difference as the tournament goes on, will start to come up. I don't think Argentina is a good team. Right. Well, so if you want to kind of skip back a little bit, Serbia has a really talented roster, but outside of their starting 11, it's, I would argue, it's probably the most significant drop at the tournament. So while they looked okay against Costa Rica, and I think they probably easily, maybe not easily, get out of the group, but I do see them getting out of the group. The further they go, the bigger of a problem they're going to have. And that's just their bench is too weak. Jumping back to the other question you just asked me there, I just don't think Argentina is a good team. And I honestly, if they are eliminated come Friday morning at about 11 my time, I'm not surprised.
Do you have any specific takes on their defense and goalkeeping in that Iceland game? It was not good, and yet they only gave up one goal.
Yeah, I think. I think that speaks to maybe kind of where Iceland's at, and I think Iceland's not a particularly strong side. And regardless of if Messi missed that penalty or not, they didn't play well, and I don't know that it's necessarily because they're capable of playing better and did it. I don't think they are capable of playing much better than kind of what they did. Messi could have not missed the penalty shot, but I think they were pretty deserving of that result.
Interesting. What about Dybala? We didn't get to see him. Are you surprised that they didn't put him on for an injection of pace?
No, because he and they've been pretty open about it in that he occupies the same place as that Messi does. No, I'm not surprised. And I think I'd honestly be kind of surprised if he did see him this World Cup. I don't know how him and Messi would work together. Like, they're both great players, absolutely, but they take up the same space. If you're going to have Messi there, I think there's better options for Argentina, and I think they know that.
So Argentina
and I don't get as deep into soccer and the positions, but Mil knows more about this than me, but it's like Argentina, I don't know, it's like a football team has like four really good quarterbacks. You know, you can't play them all in the same spot at the same time. Like, it's tough because all of their class players are it's the front line. And it is a goofy problem to have, to try to get those stars on the pitch at the same time, or, you know, getting them in a position to succeed as what they succeed, like how they do well at their clubs. And I've heard enough sharp people say that, or I did fade Argentina a little just by completely keeping them out of my futures and you know, anything in semifinals or finals matchup like that. But I guess, yeah, same thing. Like, the way Croatia played and the way Argentina played, I hadn't looked ahead that far yet. But would that eliminate them?
If Croatia Croatia's plus 300, which I like. I'll probably at least be on them plus the 0.5 because I think they're the better team. And that's not even just based on what, you know, we saw this week. I kind of thought that going in before. But the interesting one is Iceland plays Nigeria. Nigeria could be a great team. They could not be. I wouldn't be surprised either way if they won or lost that game. So if Croatia wins and Iceland wins, Argentina's done, right? Because then they have one game left. They can only get 3 points. The rest of them are at 6-4. So
that's a good point. Yeah. Doesn't matter how much they beat Nigeria by.
Nope, wouldn't matter. Games are right off.
Well, I guess Iceland. I guess they could end up in a tie with 4 points tie with Iceland. So maybe. So if Iceland. So if they lose to Croatia,
they have to get a result on Croatia, though.
Yeah. Right. I see. Okay. Well, that's interesting. I definitely have my eye on Argentina.
The best they do there.
Yeah. That's interesting. Interesting.
And then, Nigeria's beat them before too. That wouldn't be a new thing for Argentina. So
that would be wild. Had issues for a long time. The fifth favorite to be eliminated, like eight.
Oh, would it though? Like,
I mean,
I know these, we kind of talked about this
happen,
a little bit.
Things happen every time, but
yeah,
like, just I mean, what would that be like a week into the tournament and you have the fifth favorite to win it all eliminated playing a dead rubber?
Yeah, well, give me your take on this. Brazil win Group E, Germany finished second in Group F. You could have one of the co-favorites eliminated in round one of the knockout round. I mean, I know that this is, you know, it's way down the line, and it's entirely possible that that's never materializes. But Brazil, Germany, round one, knockout round. How likely do you think that is, Andy?
Ooh, that would be. I mean, if Germany, I mean, they have to win out here. They'd have to, and I guess Sweden's defense. I mean, if they sit and get a draw against Sweden.
They're sitting 11 guys behind the ball in that game. They're playing for 0-0.
Yeah, Sweden has a tough defense, and if Sweden gets their way and they play to a board draw or a 1-1, that's going to happen probably, because Brazil should beat the pants off of Costa Rica. I mean, that's just how life goes. And then Brazil-Serbia will be pretty interesting.
Yeah, it should be a good, a but really
like
good
you
game.
Said, with Serbia – good squad, not a great bench, whereas Brazil has some star power up and down the roster.
Yeah, Brazil was a disappointment yesterday, man. Oh, that was rough. Okay, let me get your take on a couple of these other groups that we haven't mentioned yet. Let's start with Group A. Group A was interesting because in the week leading up to the World Cup, it felt like everybody's dark horse to make a run in the tournament was Uruguay. I lost count of the number of people who are like, oh, I got Uruguay to win the group. For the record, friend of the pod, Caleb, was the first that I heard anyone say that, and then I heard lots of other people say that, so I'll give Caleb the credit on that. But Uruguay was lucky to get a win against Egypt. Suarez did not play particularly well. He looks like he's carrying a little bit more pressure than you would like to see from a guy who's expected to carry your team. Meanwhile, Russia scored 5 against Saudi Arabia. Are we in a situation now where the market has completely overreacted to how good Russia are and how Uruguay maybe took a little bit of a ding in the people's perceptions that they didn't look as good as the people thought they were going to be? And I'll ask that to Mill first.
So I think, yes, I think that Russia's big issue is their center backs and kind of how slow they are in reacting to anything. And they didn't really get tested. There was one ball that went into the 6-yard box, and I can't remember the defender's name, but he looked kind of clueless that it was there. And if the Saudi player had been a yard forward, that would have been in the back of the net. If Saudi gets that close to scoring on you, I think you have to ask some real questions about what's going on.
Saudi Arabia, the worst team in this tournament?
I don't know if they're the worst team in the tournament, or they just kind of got unlucky having to play Russia, and then they really piled it on that last couple of minutes, and you could tell Saudi Arabia was just kind of like, get me out of here.
Sure.
Which I think kind of... Yeah, it wasn't great by any means, but I think that you know Russia hasn't really proven anything over the last, you know, year, 2 years. Really, they haven't looked great, and then they have a bunch of injuries. But all of a sudden, they play a terrible team. And so, well, I wrote this down. What was it? So, some interesting kind of prices. Uruguay to beat Saudi Arabia when they played was -1.5, -125, and it is now. I was just looking at it. Sorry. Something ridiculous. They are like -2.5, and it is juiced. -2, -115. So it moved half a goal and some pretty significant juice. And then Russia was, and Egypt was lined a lot closer than it is now. And now Egypt's +315. And I don't really get it. Like, I don't think Russia's really proved anything. And if anything, Egypt proved more to me by how defensively capable they looked against Uruguay.
So I agree with that, Andy.
I absolutely, the overreaction during the game was wild. We're kind of, I think that was you, Mill, or maybe someone else in one of the chat groups that was kind of tracking the wild ass steam on that game as it moved from like one.
It was minus 2.5, so it's come down a bit, yeah. But yeah, it was. It got
pretty wild just during the second half of that game. Like people were going to the window and pounding them, but. Just asking for a friend who might have a 7-1 Saudi Arabia as the lowest scoring team in the tournament. Are they even going to get some shots on goal? Yeah, Uruguay. And
shots on goal, yeah. Yeah, I could see a shot on goal. They might take one from range. Are they going to score? I would think not. I'd be tempted to bet teams that are going to play them, whoever's left to win to nil versus any kind of like minus goal market.
What about let's handicap these two Group A matches on the fly then. Tomorrow morning we got Egypt Russia, and then Wednesday morning we get Saudi Arabia Uruguay. Let's start with Uruguay. If is it a better look to them to win 2-0 or over say 2.5 goals? Because I'm guessing I haven't seen a team total yet, but. If 2.5 goals is relatively friendly juice, is that a decent look? Can they get 3 goals against Saudi Arabia?
I'll bring up the odds for you. Just give me a.
Do they need 3 goals against Saudi Arabia? I mean, Uruguay and Russia at this point tied at the top of the table, but Russia's got a 4-goal differential advantage on Uruguay.
So over unders 3 at plus 105. Oof, I don't know if I don't like that. I think soccer works in funny ways, especially when you're betting it. So as that game was going on, I threw out that pool as Uruguay versus Saudi Arabia. What's the final score going to be, and Uruguay wins by 4+ goals, got like 40% of the vote.
Yeah.
And then over 2 was 60%. So some kind of stupid score line of like 1-0. 2-0 doesn't really surprise me, so I wouldn't be really interested in the over. The win to nil, maybe, and it's going to be juice, though, so you'd still have to parlay it with something.
Do you give Uruguay any do you ding them at all offensively from what you saw versus Egypt, or do you think that was more of a credit to the way Egypt approached their defensive strategy?
I think it was more of a credit to Egypt, because Uruguay looked fine. Like Suarez, I'm not a big Suarez fan. He didn't look great, but Cavani looked excellent.
Yeah, Suarez had chances too. Yeah,
there was one. I was watching the BBC feed just because I appreciate how honest and brutal the English announcers are when they're commentating games. But they made me believe that Suarez had scored like 2 minutes into that game when he hit the side netting. So he definitely had his chances.
And who's the defender, the captain back there too?
Uruguay went to nil minus 175.
Interesting.
That's not awful. I'm not going to play it, but that's a little low, I think.
Andy, what do you think of either of these two Group A matches? Have you see anything stand out as you handicap these two?
Oh, what's the other one?
Egypt, Russia. I really want to back Egypt.
I want to stay away from that one because I'm already involved in. I have Uruguay and Egypt advance as a bet. Betting on Egypt at this point would just be adding money.
Right. This is do or die for them, right?
Yeah, I need Egypt to win. I don't think a draw gets.
I'm going to do it.
Yeah, I need Egypt to win too. I would like to see that.
I would recommend waiting till closer to kick. Egypt plus a half is minus 125 right now.
Yep. You think it's going to keep drifting towards Russia?
Minus 140. I do. I'd be willing to take that risk because even if that takes it to minus 140, I'd play it.
So you get it. You get the draw and you get a win. Okay.
And Russia's going to come out with that rigid 3-5-1-1 kind of crap that they play. I almost would rather Salah didn't start and he could come off the bench because then you're probably going to see that line drop even more.
What do you think is going on with Salah? Is he going to play at all?
That's a hell of a question. Was he even available, do you think? Or were they just...
I do think he was, and I think a gamble and not playing him almost paid off. Because, you know, you come out not playing him, and it's 1-1 in the 89th minute. I mean, it's hard to fault the manager for it. I don't know that he made the right move, but, like, had they held on another 2 minutes, everyone would be like, wow, they drew without Salah, and we'd be talking, you know, completely different about this game.
Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, I actually went Uruguay first, Egypt second, 7-1. So,
oof, man.
I have Russia do not advance, but I'm going to be on Egypt again. I'm going to stick to my guns on that one.
Okay. If Egypt wins this game, Mel, how do they do it?
Same way they... same against Uruguay, just Russia doesn't have the defense.
Okay.
And nor does Russia have the offensive capability to break them down like Uruguay did.
Let me ask you about Russia real quick. Any truth to the smoke about the way the players looked relative to how they played professionally? That they may be... I don't know what the right word is, but performance enhanced in some way.
They're on amphetamines for sure.
I don't think Russia would ever do that. So,
good point. Fair point. are we selling Russia short? And their players are actually in better form than we're really willing to concede.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't think that's enough for me to be put off playing what I think is the better team in this game. Especially, yeah, it's a classic. Like, if you saw an overperformance in the NFL, you don't really think twice about it. So why now? Because maybe they're on steroids. I don't buy that.
Okay. All right. Good deal. That's enough for me. I wanted to be on Egypt the whole time. After I saw those two games, my gut reaction was, the Egypt almost coming away with the draw was more impressive than Russia's 5-0 win. And that five, like you mentioned, the 5-0 win was really like 2-0. It was a 2-0 win. So that's completely influencing the way the market is shaped on this one. And I am willing to look for Egypt to come away with a draw or a win here. And that is going to be a fun one to bet tomorrow morning. Let's talk about group.
Wait till pick.
I'm going to skip Group H for right now. We haven't seen Group H play, and if you bet Group H before you've seen these teams play, just tread carefully. Let's talk about Group B, though. You guys okay with that?
Yep.
It's my favorite group. All right,
cool. Yeah, me too. This one's fun. Portugal and Spain put on a show for us. Ronaldo with the goal of the tournament so far and may end up being the goal of the tournament when it's all said and done. That free kick to tie it 3-3 was pretty fucking awesome. Does this put Spain in a difficult position now to come away and win this group, Mel? I know you were high on Spain coming into the tournament. Any change in your perception with the manager stuff and now drawing when they should have won? You worried at all?
No, and I think Diego Costa looked phenomenal. And that was,
he was impressive.
He looked pretty great. And I think Portugal got really lucky. And this is coming from someone who has a big parlay where Portugal's the last leg to win like $20,000. So,
Flip side of that, though, the goalkeeper, David De Gea, looked pretty average, if not bad. Can you shake that?
I mean, he's been carrying Man U forever, so... Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I mean, I think I could have stopped that ball. So, I don't know. I don't think he'll keep playing to that level.
I like what you said about Diego Costa, too. I don't watch as much La Liga as I do EPL, and it was nice seeing him, like, back in form, and it reminded me of when he was really putting on a show a little bit towards the middle and the end of the year for Chelsea 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Spain still has some star power. It's tough. A free kick, a penalty kick, and a pretty crazy goal. Like, it's not like they gave up. I guess it was kind of a soft one, the one that went in and out of De Gea, but
yeah, they were
Ronaldo still got it.
They were down. Spain was down 1-0. Yeah, they were down 2-1, and they still came back to lead 3-2, which is damn impressive. Giving up that. Yeah, and there's nothing when you have a player with the free kick ability of Ronaldo making that kick, then it's not your day, you know. I don't know what else to say. So Spain come out on top here. Do they get a result against both Iran and Morocco? I guess they get Iran first, and we are seeing the market has about a 90% expectation that Spain comes away with a win here. Is that about right, Mill?
It's high. Like, I wouldn't bet it. Iran was the best team out of Asia, and they look okay against Morocco. They played very defensive. I'm just not really interested in betting kind of any of that stuff that's going on in the World Cup based on what we've seen, and I think you'll keep seeing that in the group stage.
Can I talk you into an under 2.5 in that Spain Iran match? It's looking at about plus 106 for under 2.5. So I'm getting plus money.
Exact score 2-0.
2-0. Okay.
Oh, I'd rather go Spain win to nil.
Spain win to nil. Oh, is that? Can you get plus money on that, or is that? It's probably about.
No, absolutely not.
But yeah, it's like okay. Interesting.
I'd just be shocked if Iran scored.
Spain minus 2 is plus 110, and under 2.5 is plus 106. Okay, how about the other side of the Group B, where you're looking at Morocco, who made it 90-plus minutes without conceding and then headed a ball into their own goal, improbably giving away the win. Or giving away the draw, and I don't know. I wasn't really that impressed with Morocco. I expected more from them. They played their asses off for the first 30 minutes, and then it was 60 minutes of just, we're actually not that great a team. Is that a fair read, Andy?
Yeah, that wasn't a great game to watch.
It was one of the worst, yeah.
There's been a couple. And, own goals happen. It's not like he tried. I guess, Draymond scored on his own basket one time this year. It happens in other sports, but boy, that was shit. I also had Iran as a prop for lowest scoring team because I love, and if I could have got through this game with Iran not scoring, I would have felt pretty good about them too. So that was disappointing. I didn't have any juice or any juice on the game otherwise, but
you didn't lose an Iran team total under half a goal on that. That would have been bad. Yeah,
I would have loved for them to just take a nil-nil draw and move on with the rest of the group. And yeah, they look defensive, and I kind of like your underlook. I like the Spain wins to nil. I don't know about Morocco at all. I don't think I'll be touching that Portugal Morocco game.
Does it surprise you that Portugal minus 1 is plus 124? I don't get that at all.
I mean, both teams just kind of played defensively, it seemed like. And maybe it just because the game was so bad. That's a weird line, though. I haven't looked at it at all.
Portugal minus 1 is plus 124 against Morocco, who just lost to Iran, who is, and Spain minus 2 is plus 110 against Iran. Riddle me that one.
16 on the money line.
That's weird, huh? Portugal Spain money line Mill. Is only minus 152.
Well, Mill, weren't you saying we should be playing money line parlays? So I think you put Spain and Portugal together. Give her one more try. Yeah,
pretty far from the style that I go, but oh, wow, that's weird. I don't know.
That is weird, huh? Who in the world is out there back in Morocco after that game? I was not impressed. I'm surprised. I guess this is maybe an area where the market is saying Portugal is not as good as the three goals they scored against Spain, I guess.
I guess so, but I still would think they're better than Morocco. Maybe I'm missing something.
Interesting.
I don't have really an interest in betting the game still with Portugal minus 168 almost. I don't know. Maybe I don't have a good enough read on them and just need to watch it.
What would your gut say on score line? Just guessing out of thin air.
Portugal 1-0.
1-0, yeah. Interesting.
I'd be interested maybe in a Portugal win to nil bet.
Does this present an opportunity to get a little bit? I mean, can you do better betting Spain here by taking them still to win Group B? Because there's props out there for Spain to win Group B that are a lot less juicy than what you would pay to be on the Spain money line than this game.
-165.
Yeah, and if Portugal is a little bit of a who knows, right? And Spain, you know, and if you know if Morocco can somehow eke out a draw or upset Portugal, if they're a live dog in this match, then maybe it makes more sense to back Spain still to win Group B.
What do you think Morocco over under goals is?
I'm gonna expect. Is it already? Do you already have a lineup?
Yeah, I got it in front of me.
I'm gonna guess it's 1, and I'm gonna guess the under is juiced -125.
Wow. Okay. So it's over. It's half instead of half. The over is -130.
Okay. That's about.
I know. I find that surprising that they're favored to score.
That's pretty close to the same thing. Okay. I got you. Gotcha. Yeah. So they're favored to score. Okay. Interesting.
Overs are always going to be shaded a little because people love an over.
Do you think Iran is a better defensive team than Spain? I mean, than Portugal?
Oh. Maybe they're not better, but their game plan is more defensive.
Yeah, their game plan is right. So Portugal, the goals they conceded to Spain, I felt like Spain just produced amazing offense. I didn't really necessarily want to fault Portugal's defense there weren't any major obvious gaps by any of the defenders or the goalkeepers that I noted.
Look at the table right now. Iran can win the group simply by not allowing a goal for 180 minutes. All they have to do, they don't even have to score. They can go the entire tournament without actually kicking one in. They just have to prevent two high-end European teams from scoring. So I mean, don't you think they'll just be playing for a draw? I mean,
without a doubt.
I mean, that's got to be the game plan. So
I'm way like into this under
anything,
on
betting anything.
Iran over, Spain.
And the only way it gets away is if Spain just overpowers them, gets an early one, and it gets away from them, and they end up getting a third goal later in the match when Iran has given up on that whole game plan. But
so the question is,
that would be wild if Iran had just won the group without essentially scoring one of their own goals.
That would be freaking amazing. So how long does Iran have to withstand Spain before before things kind of chill out? Like how long into the match before you feel pretty comfortable being on under 2.5 in that Spain Iran match? But there's no goal. Like halftime 0-0, you're feeling pretty good?
I don't know about all that. I mean, look at the Belgium match today.
Yeah, that's a good point. I hold Iran higher than I hold Panama, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. But yeah, just boy, unders are nerve wracking no matter what.
They are. Yes. The goals can come in a hurry when they come. Okay, well, I'm almost certainly going to be on that Spain. I ran under 2.5 at plus money. That's my kind of bet right there. And Portugal, Morocco. Gosh, man, I just feel like there's value in Portugal here. I don't know. I don't really understand why this is lined the way it is. Maybe there's something I'm missing. Oh, well, let's talk about Group C. You guys cool to move on?
Yeah.
Australia. Almost got a result against France. That was pretty competitive football they played, and France looked like a disorganized mess. Nevertheless, Australia is staring death in the face here, facing Denmark. They are +102 at plus half a goal, so basically, you know, the likelihood of them getting a draw or winning is about 50-50. against Denmark. One first question about, I guess I have three major questions about Group C. Is it over for Australia having not gotten at least 1 point out of that France match? Number two is, I don't really care or have any thoughts about Denmark, but number two, does Peru bounce back and catch France while France is still figuring out what the hell they are as a team? Or do we three finally see France come up with an effort that is worthy of being one of the contenders in this tournament? And I'm curious what Mill has to say about France especially. What do you got, buddy?
I don't think, well, France is obviously a very good team on paper, but I think their manager is kind of useless. Sucks that Peru didn't get anything out of that game. They're big, big price when they go up against France. Some of my futures kind of limit probably what I would do, though, just because I have Peru to advance. If I didn't have that, I'd probably take Peru in some regard against France in that game, though.
Interesting. How about Australia-Denmark? Do you think Denmark gets another win or draw?
I don't know. I don't really have an opinion on that one. I mean, Denmark line minus 120. Yeah, I don't overly have a thought on that game. It's a tough one.
Tough one to read.
Australia got lucky.
It looks like they're expecting another low-scoring deal here. I'm seeing a total set at two. If you want to get the over on two, you got to pay minus 122 juice, which isn't that crazy. I thought Australia created some nice chances. We still have yet to see Cahill, who can put it in the back of the net. Anything kind of leaning towards an over here, either on Australia to score a goal or just an over in general? Because effectively, this is an elimination for Australia. So if Denmark get an early goal, Australia is going to have to be aggressive, and you can see some counter goal opportunities for Denmark. Is this one opening? You know, lately is this. And I guess you could probably say the same for France and Peru. Peru needs a result as well. And so you could see opportunities open up for France on the counter. Are we looking at two Group C overs in round two of the round robin? Andy, you with me on the overs here?
Ooh, I don't know what to think about Australia. I don't like France. Like, I agree with Mel and the manager. Like, I think France made Australia look maybe better than they are. Yeah, that's just what's their stupid nickname? Oh, get that.
Oh, the Roosters? I don't know.
No, Socceroos.
The Socceroos. Oh, the Socceroos. The Socceroos. Yeah. Stupid. Yeah, the Socceroos. I love the Socceroos.
Yeah, I'm a hard France fade this cup. Just like Mill said, shit manager, very young team, a lot of stars, but not a lot of gelling. They didn't look great in some friendlies. Obviously, they didn't look great for a big part of this match. I could see, I could see Peru a draw or possibly even getting a win there. And then just Australia, I don't know what to think. I might stay away from that one. They need to get something done, but I just don't know if they have the talent.
Interesting.
And Denmark with a win, if Denmark can just, you know, park it, play for a draw or maybe a 1-0 win. Boy, if Denmark gets to 6 points, they're pretty solid going into that final of France, or you know that not the final, but the third game there.
Miller, you with me on these two going over? I think here's what I'll make. I'll go contrary to you guys on France. I agree their manager is garbage. I agree that they are not going to win a World Cup with this manager and with this kind of lack of an identity. But Paul Pogba is an international player, man. When this guy is in international play, he steps his game up. I will not be remotely surprised if he gets goals against both Peru and Denmark and is one of the more prolific players in the tournament from a goal-scoring standpoint. I think France gets it done and wins Group C. Now, how deep they make a run in the group play, I mean, in the knockout play, is a totally different question. I don't think they, got the goods to go that deep. But I'd like to see some goals here in Group C. I think these teams can produce. I mean, Peru, shit, man. Peru should have scored how many times in that game, Mel?
Two?
They had a penalty missed, and then another three, like, just brilliant opportunities that they just couldn't finish it. I mean, their attack was awesome. They were getting the ball inside the penalty box with regularity. They just couldn't get a guy, you know, put it away. It was pretty incredible. And maybe that speaks to Denmark's defense, and maybe that's a good reason not to back the over in Australia-Denmark. But I don't know. I felt like Peru, the chances were there, and they just couldn't quite convert. And this whole group feels like overs, overs, overs to me. So I'm probably going to get on the overs on these Group C play. Any words of caution?
I don't know that I'll play it. Maybe the France-Peru one. Not Denmark-Australia, though.
Interesting. Okay. Let's move to D. Argentina-Croatia. This is the match of round two. I don't think there's another one that's anywhere close to as good in all of round two as Croatia-Argentina. Croatia has the look of a team that is going to make people regret not backing them at 33-1. I really think this this team can make it deep into the knockout round after winning Group D. Throw some cold water on me, Andy. Nigeria wasn't that good. They're all uniform and no skills.
Oh, fuck. Those were great unis, great kits. Yeah, that was a solid look, but it's tough to say. And we are just basing everything we're talking about right now off one game, essentially, unless you want to put a lot of stock into some friendlies or any sort of the other cups, the African Cup of Nations and, you know, Euro from a couple years ago. But it is awful, an awful sexy price, like Mill said with the Croatia price.
This is seemingly too good to be true price-wise. It's like the market expects Argentina to play angry. I'm shocked that draws not have more value and that people do not fancy Croatia a live dog here.
I'll be playing an over on this one.
You like the over here? What about Croatia team total over? Is there any correlation here between Croatia getting on the board and being able to specifically thwart Argentina? I mean, is like what percent chance are we talking about Croatia winning 1 or 2 nothing here?
Oof. Shutting them out might be tough.
I like the plus a half better.
Okay.
Yeah, first half over. I think I'm looking at first half over 1 is plus 125.
What?
I've had a decent luck with first halves, but
Mill, what's Croatia's
130 for the full game over?
Yeah, because the over. I'm looking at over 2 surprisingly in this one, which is kind of a shocker. Over 2 is minus 138, I guess. So it's really like over 2.5. Mill, what is?
I'm looking at the Nigeria game, so that's a different game.
Mill, what's Croatia's strength here?
In this game, particularly?
Just in general, what signifies them being a contender?
They're a good all-around team. They got depth everywhere. They got a really good midfield, which is, I think, where they line up really good against Argentina. And that plus a half, minus 115 looks really good to me. That's definitely a bet I'll take Thursday. Luka Modric gets kind of overlooked a lot where he plays, but he's a really good player. It's just kind of who he plays with, he gets overshadowed.
Interesting. I love that. Okay. Well, a lot to think about there. The Iceland-Nigeria is a roll of the dice. Pick 'em game here. Juiced a little bit in favor of Iceland. I guess the fact that Iceland was able to convert on their opportunities, or their one opportunity they converted on. And Iceland honestly should have had two goals in that first half. They set up a beautiful – the guy made a beautiful run kind of down the outside and had whole, you know, third of the net wide open to him and just slotted it, you know, too wide. It would have made it 2-0 or something against Argentina. I can't remember if it would have made it 2-1 or 2-0. But I really thought Iceland had some good-looking chances early, and they were not the same team in the second half. They faded hard, nevertheless came away with a draw. Do they find the net against Nigeria here? And why in the world did they line this over 2 at -110? They're begging you to take the over here. That too good to be true, Andy?
Oh, if there's one thing I've found out from this World Cup, that too good to be true thing doesn't exist. It's like the Germany-Brazil parlay that the entire world made, and neither of those legs came through. Yeah, this whole...
That's why you parlay them, though, right?
Yeah, that's
if you bet them separately, you lose twice.
This is very true. You only lose once. It's nice. Oh, man. Gosh, what... he's been on a couple podcasts, but the guy from Men in Blazers, he said that about Iceland. He's like, they believe in their heart that they're going to win every game. Like, they just... that's how they approach it. Like, it's they shouldn't be as good as they are. And I don't know if we'll see a ton of scoring. Two's probably right. I'm much more interested in the other Group D game than this one. I'll probably stay away from it. Maybe if the over gets steamed, I can play an under 2.5. But I think 2's right where it should be.
Got it. In Group E.
I will be betting
way too early. Yeah.
Straight up.
Nice.
3-1, getting myself a Modric jersey if that comes through. He's my Croatian Messi. Just a little
bit. I love it. I love Modric. He brilliant on that penalty kick conversion, unlike Messi. Early, crack of dawn on Friday. Costa Rica and Brazil will take it on in Group E. The market expects a howler. People are probably going to be finding ways to put Brazil into parlays. Neymar was a disappointment. They were very physical with him, and he basically just kind of crumpled and folded, I felt like. I thought there was some kind of – I thought that the refereeing was a little bit lax. They gave Switzerland a lot of leeway to kind of get be physical with Messi, he was desperate to get a call, so he kept taking a dive. And really, the diving overall in the first round of games has been pretty bad. It's been brutal, at least in my opinion. But all that said, Brazil gets their crack at Costa Rica. Costa Rica's goalie did well against Serbia. I thought Serbia should have had more than one goal in that game. I was on over 2, so I was disappointed that they only came away 1-0. But Brazil, you know, this is still presumptively their group to lose. They can distinguish themselves in this match here by putting a beatdown on Costa Rica. Is this how you'll be betting this one, though?
I don't know. -2 seems heavy. That seems like a lot. I don't know. That's a good question. I didn't think about it that way. I kind of looked at it as
a long time till Friday here. That's I bet that gets bet up.
You think people? You think the money flows in on Brazil?
Yeah, absolutely. On the they can't drop it again. So. I think they'll get hammered pretty hard.
You think this maybe closes -2.5 again? Brazil, oh. 1-0. Brazil first half full time. That's been one of my favorite looks, and it's sad that didn't come through against Switzerland.
I just don't think
people are just sitting there saying, like,
scoring.
Yeah, all the favorites haven't been winning or covering, and
they're due.
Yeah, the gambler's fallacy is going to go full effect. Brazil's going to crush. Germany's going to crush. All the favorites are going to just destroy. And granted, they're playing a North American team. I mean, it is Costa Rica.
Yeah, right. If you're going to get involved in that sort of thing, do it against CONCACAF. As we learned today with Belgium. If, you know, when in doubt, fade CONCACAF, I guess, except for Mexico, believe it or not. Which brings us to the last of the Group E matches. I'm sorry, that's Group F, my bad. But Switzerland-Serbia is the second of the Group E matches. I want to give Switzerland credit here. I feel like they're going to get out of this group. I know, Mill, you had a great point earlier about Serbia's depth and the fact that the longer they go in this tournament, the more that's going to start to show warts. Does that start to manifest in this game against Serbia? Is Switzerland rightfully about a minus 125 on the pick'em? Is that a fair price? And do we expect Switzerland to figure out a way to win this and get into the knockout play?
I think it's a coin flip game. And with that, I'd probably rather go with Serbia because it's plus money on the spread. To me, I don't see a lot between the two, like not enough that I would make a bet in any way.
Of all the games we've talked about so far, does this seem like the most likely to end in a draw?
It's lined that way.
It's lined that way. That's why I said it. Yeah. Of all the ones we've talked so far, this is the one where the highest percentage at likelihood falls on the draw. You're looking at plus 199 right now for this to end in a dead heat.
I see why it's priced that way, right? But that's just because they're so close together, not necessarily because they will draw. Just it's hard to differentiate in the price. So you see the same thing with who was it, Nigeria and Iceland, like not a lot between the two, so the draw price is a lot lower.
Right. Sure.
Most likely to end in a draw, though. Like, would I actually bet it? And I wouldn't bet a draw at the World Cup at plus 200. Maybe Denmark, Australia at the draw at plus 245 would be maybe nice. Where I would look for something like that.
Ooh, I like that. I'm gonna keep that in my back pocket. Do you have a lean in this one, Switzerland, Serbia, Andy?
Boy, it's another one that it's a long way down the road from here. It's another Friday match, and we're talking Monday. I haven't looked real close. I feel like maybe I like Serbia because they won me some money, and I fall in love with the one or two teams that have actually went the right way for me this year.
Let's hope Serbia gets a win so we'll get an opportunity to fade them. Yeah.
I wouldn't mind like a double result on one of the teams. I love that. I haven't even picked one of the teams. I'm just saying double result on one of them. Just because I haven't made that bet yet this year.
The double result.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Run with something. I probably won't be betting this one unless we get a little closer and I dig into it a little bit. And that's a goofy group to me.
Let me ask you this. Gambler's fallacy, specifically, since you brought it up. Are you feeling the likelihood of that actually coming through in the second group of round robins? Are we actually going to see more of what we expected to see when the tournament started than reactions like? Like, will just a full-on, like, chalk mega parlay cash in this round two? Or do you think there'll be someone?
It could, but it just...
Like, Uruguay? What would it be? Uruguay, Uruguay, Spain? Stay away from that stuff. Okay. I'm curious in the back of my
garbage
head.
Garbage betting. Like, when was it? I was talking to you. I was going, well, Brazil, or who was it? Brazil, Germany was plus 103. And then everyone was going, well, what book is that? Like, there's just no way that's an LOL book. It's like, well, that's the line, but I still don't think it's a good bet.
Yeah.
I think you see why. Not my favorite way to bet soccer.
I like it. Okay, good advice for everybody. I'll chill out. I'll throw some cool water in my pants. Andy, yeah,
it seems like that works out a lot better in club soccer, where maybe midway through the season, where you have a bunch of actual results for teams that have played together for 15 weeks, and you can actually, you know, cap two teams that have had some results to actually look at. Whereas
that's a great point.
Doing that on the first weekend of the World Cup, obviously, not, didn't turn out great.
Not going to pay the bills that way. Let me ask you about Germany, since you're our resident Deutschophile. The Swedish team, as we talked about in the Open, is going to play for a draw. They are going to play an extremely defensive game plan, and they're a good defensive team. What does Germany have to do to, you know, pierce this defense and get on the board finally? And, you know, kind of right the ship here, you know, because I got to tell you right now, it does not look great.
Yeah, I would be tempted to go with possibly a different lineup. And we'll see, because
give me three guys that should not have been on the field to start the game against Mexico.
The whole midfield, apparently.
I don't know. What did you really think, though? Like, all those guys, there's better options?
No, I mean, just maybe, you know, I'm not a soccer strategist by any means, but it just seemed like they needed to make some changes sooner, and they didn't, and that's how things went. It's, you know, I don't coach soccer, never have, but they're probably, maybe Mill could speak to this more than I could, as far as they need to do something, because how they did it didn't work.
What are the chances that Mexico just had exactly the right kind of counterattack to make things a nightmare for Germany? And that, you know, it was a much thinner margin than anyone expected in the game itself. And all it took was a couple of those break. I mean, they got three or four great looks on breakaways. They converted one. Germany had lots of pressure in the second half and just could not find the back of the net. Is it just that, you know, one or two small adjustments, we see a totally different team when they play Sweden?
I hope so.
I'm interested in what you think too, Mill.
I don't know. I think Lowe's kind of loyal to a fault to a lot of those players.
Ozil especially?
Well, yes. Draxler was the one I was thinking of more.
Draxler.
So, who's in that game way too long. But they have the perfect sub, kind of inject some pace at the end of the game, and they left him at home. So maybe, I don't know. It seemed like everyone on Twitter had that hot take, though.
What would you have done differently? I was all about getting Khedira, Ozil, Draxler, all of them off the field. I wasn't that impressed with Muller's play, although he relies so much on the other guys that I don't know how much you can fault him. Same for Werner. I guess do we see Marco Ruiz instead of Draxler in this game against Sweden, probably, Andy?
Maybe, but I would put money that you'll see the same lineup.
You think?
Like Mill said, he's loyal and it's worked before. He can kind of rest on his laurels a little. I mean, they did all right in the last World Cup, so. Hopefully there's a slightly different game plan, I guess. But, yeah, it'll be very tough to say what happens here. I would do something different with the midfield.
Talk to me about the – talk to me about
– whether he will would be very interesting to see.
Talk to me about the Schadenfreude in bringing three goalkeepers and not Sané.
You need goalkeepers. That's who keeps the goals out.
Just you need three? You need three, though?
No, you don't need three. Oh, it's wild. I like Draxler. But yeah, Sané would have been real nice to have there to bring in. And I mean, that's the hubris, maybe the thinking we don't need him, and these are my guys, and this is how I want to do it. It might come to bite him in the ass here.
Did Suma have any good hot takes for us on Germany soccer?
I think he was more just sad.
Yeah.
I mean, it sucked. That was obviously a terrible result for them. They expected to get a win. The team total was, like we said, probably two. And then they didn't get one in at all. So that's – and anything worth saying, it's not like they don't know this. Obviously, they played the game. They've been around the block. Something will happen. There will be changes. So it'll be very interesting to see exactly what happens.
Nice. Okay. Belgium, England, thoughts? And, you know, specifically
third game.
I know, but they're both going to advance. I mean, forget about Panama, forget about Tunisia. One of those teams wins. Let's say, I mean, in all likelihood, right? As you look right now at the way that the knockout field will be populated if it goes chalk from here on out, you will have Brazil and Germany in the top half playing each other round one, and then the winner will likely go on to play the winner of Group G, which would be the winner of Belgium, England. Does this throw any kink into how that group plays out, number one, or do you just play your game? And then number two, does the loser of that group have futures value? Because the exact opposite is true on the bottom half of this draw now. You're potentially looking at a road that's like Poland and Mexico, or you know, or Senegal, Switzerland, or something crazy like that, right? Like, what is the play here in order to capture some value from the crazy upsets we've seen to this point in the tournament?
If you look, does England, Belgium? Yeah, England, Belgium's the second to last game, so they will know the day before the Germany, Brazil, all that, those groups will be finished. So I guess those teams will know. But do you have two teams at the same time trying to lose? Like, I would love to see how that would go.
So let's say they play it straight.
I've watched soccer matches like that, I think.
Let's say they play it straight then. Is there value on England right now in the futures market? If they get the bottom quarter effectively to themselves, no Brazil, no Germany in that quarter, like, are you thinking that quarterfinalist England is now a more realistic possibility than we thought pre-tournament?
Oh, I guess I always pegged England as losing in the quarterfinals. It's kind of where I've always had them in my bracket, but obviously a little differently as far as I think it was like Colombia in the round of 16, and then they run into Brazil. That's just how that goes. Like, they don't have the squad to beat Brazil in the knockout.
So England is second in Group G. Let's say Belgium and England both win their second group. You know, their second matches. Belgium has a goal differential and they tie in the third match. So Belgium goes on to win Group G. They're in the top half. England is second in Group G. They're in the bottom half. Do they get by the winner of Group H and then get by a team like Mexico? Are we living in a world where England is a semifinalist? So Mill, I'll put you on the spot then, before you hit the links. Is there value on England making it to the semifinals, given that they likely finished second in Group G and may have a path that does not have Germany in their way of getting to the semifinals?
Wow, that's a hot take, Will. I didn't even really think of that. Like, I kind of saw them play today. You know, England gets a bad rap because, you know, they kind of, the players get called out for not being, you know, overly passionate or they can never put forward a good team. But I honestly never thought of what you just floated out there. That's really interesting.
I guess what I'm trying to look at that. I'm searching really, and this is kind of the overall arching question. Like, the Brazil and Germany results were crazy, right? And it has to create some value on some teams. And I'm looking at who's likely going to end up in the bottom half of the knockout draw, and it's going to be like Spain and a bunch of nobodies, right? It could be Spain and England and a bunch of nobodies, but basically, like, there's not going to be any contenders besides Spain, likely, in the bottom half of the knockout draw. And I'm wondering how to capitalize on the futures market. Is there some way to capitalize on that? What are your thoughts, Andy?
Oh, I think that's just too many steps ahead for me right now. And I think the problem is I'm sitting looking at all the futures I already placed.
I guess
I'm struggling to want to do any more, but I do like the point you're making. I know too many, man, just putting your money on England in a World Cup just doesn't sound good.
Yeah, it sounds about right to me.
It's just, and maybe that's all superstition, that's all just the bias of World Cups gone by. And this isn't something where, you know, you can't say, oh, you know, the Chiefs are going to win the Super Bowl because the Chiefs won Super Bowl III. Like, right. Or they didn't win Super Bowl III. I think it was four.
I know what you're getting at, yeah.
But, yeah, it's hard to base it on past results of World Cups. But teams do get reputations in international play. And, boy, putting money on England, especially England that was a whisker away from drawing to Tunisia today. I think draw or not. They could go through just like how I had it drawn out and lose to Colombia in the round of 16.
Yeah. Sure enough.
I don't have a ton of faith, but it would be a crazy draw for them if that's how things went. That would be – there'd be excitement in the streets of whatever the hell towns there are over there.
Who would they end up playing, Will?
So if so they're going to end up – okay, so in my postulated world here where I'm trying to make some case for value, England beats Panama, but not by as much as – Belgium did. Belgium beats Tunisia by as much or more than England does. And so they go into their head-to-head with Belgium having like a plus four goal differential relative to England. And they just play for a draw. England gets second in Group G. They end up on the bottom half of the knockout draw, which puts them up against the winner of Group H, right? And then presuming they win that head-to-head in round one, that would move them on to play the winner of, say, Mexico and Serbia. And if they win that, then that would move them on into the semifinals of the World Cup knockout stage where they could play anyone, but most likely Spain. Is it worth taking a shot on this team, or is there someone else who's coming out of this ugly?
Do I like England?
The ugly, like, or am I talking myself into Spain here? Is Spain now the clear favorite to come out of the bottom half of this draw if Germany's not in there?
I think I personally, and like my family's from Leicester City, I would be way more comfortable having money on Spain than England.
Ah, okay. Maybe I've talked myself into Spain. Andy, are you with me on Spain?
Yeah, I already have a Spain future.
Okay. Like, so are we going to see a Germany Spain final? Germany's going to come out of like the ridiculously hard top half, and Spain's going to come out of the bottom half?
I'm not so sure Germany makes it out. Like, I don't know if they have the answers in the midfield. Like, where do they go on the bench? Like, Royce is a great player, but, you know, he's been injured and banged up. And Draxler, I don't think, is a viable option. I don't know. Like, their biggest issue is who's going to come in for Sammy? Like, Cruz is grace, but you know, Gadara plays like such a fundamental role as kind of that holding midfield player. I don't know that if he's slow, if he's got something going on, he can't figure it out.
If he's washed, he sure looks washed. Yeah,
we shouldn't overreact to one game, but I don't know who fixes that, and I don't know that there's an option on the German bench to fix that.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I feel like I'm talking myself into Spain more and more here, and the market hasn't moved particularly much on Spain because maybe this is crazy too because Spain could end up in the top half of the draw too, right? Like this could work out in some crazy effed up way that Portugal gets the whole bottom half of the draw to themselves or something insane. and wins penalty kick shootouts all the way to the World Cup final. I sure hope that doesn't happen, but now I'm preparing for the worst.
Well, I win $20,000 if they win, so.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't be too upset.
Go Portugal.
There you go.
Yeah, you can buy a new set of beautiful clubs and enjoy the rest of the long nights up in Calgary, man.
Yeah, well, it's like we joked around. You got winter coming in about 4 weeks. So what do we? Richmond, Lakeview, McCall.
Oh man, how do you McCall Lake? Yeah. Actually, where I'm at right now.
Is there anyone? Oh no, I just googled Calgary golf courses. It's like the first
okay,
one.
Okay, there you go.
All right, well, yeah,
call some bad luck.
Well, I've taken up enough of your time. Let me put this up so we can get it up for the people to listen to tomorrow. Andy, have you made any of your picks for Group H matches tomorrow?
Oh,
are you gonna?
Boy.
You got any hot picks? You like Colombia? You like Senegal?
Portugal.
Poland over goals. Lewandowski any goal scorer?
Senegal.
Yep,
that's my pick.
All right.
Senegal, and maybe I'll say fuck it and go with a little Egypt anyway.
I like it. Mel, what are you on tomorrow?
Well, I like a bunch tomorrow. I like Colombia. I like Senegal. And then I really like Egypt plus that half, but just wait till kick.
I love it. All right. Well, I'm going to get this up for the people so they can listen to this pod and get their bets in before the match just kick off tomorrow. Thank you so much for your time. This was super fun as always. And good luck in the rest of the World Cup. Mel and Andy, let's talk some more soccer. You good with doing some more of these?
Oh yeah, we got a damn month of this.
I'm super into this. And oh, by the way, if you didn't already know, Andy is recording a tennis-specific podcast with our good friend Kelly, Big Ten Watto. Check out the Ball Boys. Subscribe. Give it 5 stars on iTunes. We're in the midst of grass season.
Getting stuff on iTunes, boy, that's like pulling teeth.
Oh, you just now that you've done it, it's over. Now that you've done it, you did it. It's over. You're good.
This is true.
Yeah. All right. Well, enjoy the rest of the group play this weekend. Let's touch base and figure out round 3.